Good evening. It is November 1st, 2018. It's 9:01 p.m. This is the discussion call where you can express your views on any topic of your choice. NLA does not teach any topics here. This is an open forum. And the views expressed by the speakers here may or may not necessarily represent the views of National Liberty Alliance. In regard to Jim's comments, I'm sure you're all listening. We have wanted for some time to have a Q&A section on the website. So Jim has been going back through and going through the transcriptions that are being done and pulling out the questions and the answers. Now, I looked through the first 17 stuff, and we need to go through and condense that down because it's true that the question is asked and the answer is there, and the answer to about 20 other things is there as well. And in order to make it manageable, probably for the website, as well as easy search and so on, we need to go through and cull it and streamline it so people can go and get a pretty quick answer on it. Now, the person that does the transcriptions is the wife of one of the members of a group we have down in Pittsburgh area. They've been very active for a long time. And what they do, I post the call Monday night, gets out usually by 12:30 in the morning, Tuesday morning, and she will download it and start going through the transcription. And then they have a meeting, it's either Tuesday or Wednesday, and they go over the entire thing again. And during that process, they refine the transcription and so on, and then she emails it to me Sunday morning, and I post it on the website for that week. But she does not have time to go ahead and do any additional ones. We've asked her in the past if, for example, she would be available if we have our audios or videos that come in that we need to have transcription done on them, and they have declined. And I certainly understand that they're busy and they're both working, as the other members in that group are. And they certainly do a lot of work just to go through that three-hour session again. And they provide a lot of good questions, too, for the Monday night calls for the next week. So that's kind of an update on that, unless you'd like to add something, Jim.
You're cutting in and out.
I am?
Yeah.
Let me see what I can do here. Sometimes one of my adjusters gets out of whack. Is that better? No difference.
It is right now.
Okay. Yeah, this crazy mic has a little round button on it that's supposed to change the volume, and I think what it does is just make it on and off rather than just reduce it. Okay, so Jim, did you have any comments? Anything you wanted to add there on Q&A?
Sure. Well, I mean, I understand it's a lot to go through.
Right.
And I don't know, when did we start doing the questions? Where we took that email questions, because we really need to own.
Oh, long time ago. I don't know, maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm back that way, you know. As a matter of fact, once I got to December of 15, most of that month didn't have any questions on it, but we were still asking for them. So, you know, it would be nice to get them transcripted, and maybe somebody would step up and. They certainly could do it at their own pace, you know, 10, 15 minutes a week, and pretty soon you get all the weeks done, you know.
Right.
So, but I should have the other one compiled, and I was just bringing it up to Terry because I thought maybe, I don't know, I think of her as the editor, you know. She seems to have a lot of those. But really, it doesn't seem like we're not going to be changing any of the grammar. We're just going to be, you know, shortening it up and maybe doing misspellings and stuff like that. And then if we're going to shorten the whole question and answer thing, I don't know. I don't think that's really a great idea because, first of all, you have other keywords that are in there. So they might get a little tidbit of information out of one question. They put in a keyword, it'll go to it. It might answer their question, even though it's not the same. And of course, I put the date near each one so they could actually go back and actually listen to it, you know, and listen to the recording. and get real time of it. So I think that we should just put it up as it stands. It's really not that bad. But I know where it does take up a lot of web space, so that might be the concern you're talking about. And that's all I had to think on it.
Well, I think if it has other keywords in there, they ought to stand alone on their own. So pull them out and put them in under that keyword in the database. There's no point in having them left on the other one. You know, they're misfiled at that point. In terms of where do we stand today, I guess, on the book / course / filings / whatever, we have two meetings scheduled next Monday and Tuesday. Monday, the Second Amendment group will meet. We just filed here several days ago a new document to have them try and reassess in front of a panel of judges rather than the individual judge that we had, to see if they wouldn't take a look at this and not dismiss it out of hand. So we'll have to wait and see how that flies. If it doesn't fly, then we'll have to go ahead and actually do a new filing at $505 and bite the bullet and write the documentation. Then on Tuesday, we have developed a new form to be used for the mortgage foreclosures due to mortgage or tax problem. It's an amicus curiae, and that's been pretty well perfected. I don't remember if I put that on the website or not yet. If not, it'll go up shortly. We've worked through the preface. I think of the preface of a book as being a page or two, you know, kind of outlining what I'm going to do. This one, I think, was 9 or 11 pages long. Chapter 1, we've got pretty well beat into shape. It's about 29 pages. And I just got Chapter 2 while I was supposed to be on the previous call. Missed the front part of it. And that's got 52 pages, I think. So that one's going to take a little bit longer to go through. So we should, if we finish the second chapter, John wants to open up the course and let people start working on it, since that's about 80, 90 pages there to go through so far, and it'll give people something to do and give them plenty of time to get it done before moving on to other things. Because of that, I haven't done an awful lot of looking around to see what's happening in the world today. But first, I was reading a while ago that we're going to have 5,000 troops in the San Diego area, because it looked like people are just going to walk across the border from Tijuana into the U.S. And the 82nd Airborne out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina, was in the process of shipping APCs down there, armored personnel carriers. And I see some pictures go by today. It looked like more like tanks than APCs, the whole train load of them going down there. Late in the day, I read that there might be as many as 15,000 troops down there when they get done. Now, there's all kinds of rumors about what's coming up the corridor toward us. The group, they confiscated some weapons. They have Molotov cocktails. They have the traditional rocks to throw at people and stuff like that. It looks like there's some MS-13, some people out of Syria that they let go, maybe. Have made it all the way into Mexico and have joined the caravan. So that's nice to have some well-trained fighters involved. There's rumors that they've stockpiled munitions and arms near the border. Some seem to indicate on the north side of the border to sneak up behind people if there's a confrontation. And they also think that there are sniper rifles in the group that's coming up through the corridor. And they figure that they, you know, when they get to the border, if they have a large configuration, I guess, that one of the snipers will pick somebody off and there'll be a melee and be off and running, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. It's apparently, I don't know if it's the Corps of Engineers or if it's the military itself, took a lot of fencing supplies down there. I don't know if they're going to be fencing along the border several directions with nasty things like razor wire or whatever to slow down the movement of people that want to run across the border and head north. Would have been kind of nice to have the wall up there, I guess. Might have saved a lot of problems. The latest rumor I heard on the sealed indictments was it's up to about 65,000 now. Of course, a lot of those may never be opened because they'll kind of get the Godfather question. They'll take the indictment out to whoever is named on it and mention, here's this indictment and here's what we have on you. Now, if you want to sign off and agree to, curtail your functioning in those areas, I guess you might say, they might let them go free with the caveat that they resign their position, never take another position similar, and so on and so forth, for example, in politics, never be in politics again, and so on. And then see what happens, and if they don't want to go along, they'll just be summarily arrested and detained. It's rumored they have a large tent city in a warm part of the country out in the desert that'll keep them toasty, which I'm sure they will be unhappy because there'll be no air-conditioned tents to stockpile people in. So, and the other claim is that after the election, we're going to start seeing some major arrests, which I am hoping for. I think they're long overdue, but of necessity we had to wait. So those few comments, I'll open it up to anybody that wants to speak about anything, whatever's on their mind.
I just wanted to mention, Jan, that we had a new queue. While we were starting the call.
Oh, really? Good. He's back in action.
Yes. And I don't know how long it's going to be before we get another one, but at least he sent another new cue. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody asked President Trump if he thought Q was real. He kind of said, well, I guess he could be. There's something to that effect. In other words, he's not going to tell you, of course.
Yeah, I think he said, I suppose it's possible.
Yeah.
And then he turned around and said quietly, I hear they're good guys, though.
Yeah. He always has a caveat at the end.
Yeah.
Are you on speakers tonight? Terry, I keep getting an echo. Or do we have somebody else?
I've been having some problems with my little thing. You are way down for me. I don't know why. And
I don't know. Maybe I'm just tired tonight.
Your volume is way back there, so I had it turned up a little too high, and that gives an echo. Do you hear an echo right now?
No. No, it's
Say
gone.
Say something. Okay.
It's gone.
I turned one of the knobs down just a little bit.
Okay. The floor is open. Feel free to jump right in. The water's fine.
Open. Yeah.
Oh. Yes, sir, Dick. Or Jim.
So I was looking at the comments the other day, and the gentleman on here asked for a courtroom observer. And so I looked up his number, and I gave him a call. Told him I got a voice machine. I told him I wouldn't be able to get down there. It's down in New Jersey. But if he could call me, let me know. So he called me up about it, told me up about his day in court. He didn't get incarcerated over it, so he considers it to be a plus. So I just wanted to share that. So.
Anybody know what you're talking about?
And he didn't go into the case to in the specifics of it, but nobody, I don't think anybody showed up there for a court observer. But that's a tough deal, you know, but at least if he can get to touch base with somebody in NLA after going to court, it's kind of like, you know, talking about the situation helps you get through it, you know? So, and so I wanted to talk about that non-judicial foreclosure with the amicus curiae. And I really like that. It's well thought out, like most of the papers are with John. So hopefully we can get that going, because I got a couple of them that are in the offing that I can file once this page gets approved. So that's about it. I'll mute.
Hello, Jefferson, Southwest Missouri. You there? Can you hear me?
You got the floor.
Hey, I had a suggestion, you know, with this invasion coming our way. How about if we just let them come and then we detain them and then we just make them build the wall and stay on that side, of course, and then we'll just say, okay, there you go. You can camp right there. It's fine. You know, let them come and build it. They can build their own wall. How about that? We'll give them the supplies, and we'll put them to work. We'll put hammers in their hands and get them to laying bricks. How about that? Would they like that?
They wouldn't like it, but I think their motives would be against building the wall, so I don't think they'd do a very good job.
Well, they could have it. We'll give them an alternative. Say you can do 5 years in a state pen, or of course we wouldn't want to do that because we can't even afford the prisoners we have locked up now, all these innocent guys, so. Anyways, I'm pissed off about the invasion, and I hope we can get down there and get them knocked in the head. So, over now, guys.
Thank you, Jeff.
I have to agree with you, Jefferson. It always sounds good, but often the implementation is less than desirable when you get them here and they don't work and you got to feed them, sort of thing, you know. The kind of their stated mission is to be here, capitalize on everything they can, soak up all the medical benefits and the welfare and the WIC stuff and all that sort of thing, and not have to work. So, but I agree, it would be great if we could get him to do that. They'd probably be a little upset with us, which is okay.
Yeah, they wouldn't like it, I'm sure. But oh well, I don't know how they're going to handle them down there. If they're going to, are they going to be violent? Are they going to come into our borders and be violent? I mean,
well, I think that's the whole program, isn't it? To be violent.
Yeah, but are they going to try to storm some kind of passport, you know, entry, or are they just going to blow up the wall, part of a wall, or how are they going to do this? You know, how they going to climb? They all going to climb? Will they? Half of them are drowned in the river coming across the Rio Grande. That'll kill you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough way to go. But
yeah, the long walk across the desert, man.
Yeah.
So
if they come into San Diego with 15,000 troops there and well maintained, and they sent them down there with munitions and arms, they didn't make them go down with just a lick and a promise. So
yeah,
push comes to shove, there'll be a heap of hurt going around quick.
It'll be interesting. Well, it'll take them a few weeks to get up here anyway.
Well, you know, we've got this New England trucking company that's helping out by, you know, trucking them up to the border. You see these tractor-trailer rigs with a regular long trailer flatbed with another long trailer flatbed hooked on behind, and it's just stacked to the gills with people. And they're just zipping up the road, heading north, you know. They're trying to get there a little quicker. We only got 5 days till the election, you know.
They're known to get on the trains, too. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
They're known to ride those trains and all that. So they might be here. Well, hopefully they won't be here just in time to come in and start voting.
Yeah.
Because, you know what, we can't lose no seats. We can't lose nothing right now. We're going to lose our whole country if we don't win this thing.
Yep, exactly.
It's that important, you know. We got to get them out to vote. People got to go out and vote. If you want to exercise your unalienable rights, you better get out and vote, because at the local level is where the control lever is.
Yep.
And the sooner we get on that control lever at the local level, we don't have to worry about the national level if we can control our local level.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much, anyway. I mean, yeah, there'll be a few things, but we got to get our courts back, guys. We got to get them courts back.
I did watch a little of one video about how they're planning and how easy it is to change the count and so on the electronic balloting machines. And a lot of states, I guess, have gone to, you have to have a paper backup printed at the same time that you cast your vote. And in Texas, they're finding that if you vote straight party and you go down to the bottom and check, if you voted Republican, it shows you're voting Democrat. And if you don't catch it, you just voted Democratic ticket, full out. Kind of a neat trick, huh? They're programmable. It's the worst thing that ever happened in this country. You should have used paper ballots. They work, and they can be recounted.
Yeah.
Even if they have a chat, huh?
I went ahead and absentee voted a few weeks ago, so I'm ready for the results.
Yeah. I read that Democratic Party had been sending out messages, I don't know if they're letters or emails, to voters in Spanish claiming they can vote absentee and then go down and to the polls and vote. And this must have been states where you don't have to show an ID and just tell them you don't speak English so they can't identify you. Seemed like a pretty sneaky deal. I guess there's nothing they won't do at this point because everything else is failing, you know?
Yeah, they're desperate. They're so desperate they can't.
Yep.
They can hardly believe that the light's getting ready to be shined down on them, and everybody's going to be exposed. And their little games and their little mansions and airplanes and, you know, operas, tickets and all this, it's going to go away. And it won't be so fun to be a politician anymore once they're there to serve the people again.
Yep.
It won't be that fun because, I mean, it'll be boring, but, you know, it'd be an honorable position if you were that kind of man or woman, you know, which we can get, you know. We got to recirculate the blood in the body and get some of the old blood out and get some new blood in, and sooner or later we'll have enough new blood to tell the old blood we're not doing it that way anymore. Doesn't work. You know, we're not here to be judicially extorted and to be revenue sources for the county and the city so they can live, you know, lavish lives. That's not what we're here for. And they're going to figure it out because our time is so short right now. It's all going to come out in the wash very, very soon. And I hope we can start seeing these indictments. I mean, we've got to see these indictments. These things got to happen, you know. Got to get these things going somehow. By the way, did we vote on the indictments the other day? I missed the vote. I couldn't get in. The line was busy, so.
Yep, it was carried. I think there was one dissension.
Oh, okay.
All the rest were in favor. So.
Okay, fantastic.
Yep.
Fantastic. And the Second Amendment, the case is moving forward great then? Or is there a hang-up?
Well, we've refiled for reconsideration by the panel rather than letting the single judge hang us out to dry. Hopefully, okay. I think it's at least a 3-judge panel, and they might, you know, you get enough of them together, and they realize we're persistent and so on, and they might not want to all hang together. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
Well, we can put up 3 yard arms if we need to, just as simple as we can put up 1 in the courthouse yard.
Yeah.
Yard arms are cheap.
Yep, we can all chip
in. Those rope, so, you know, they want to keep playing games. We'll show them what treason, what the price for treason is, and it ain't pretty.
Nope. I wonder
so,
if they know that. They must know that.
they know what it is. They just don't think we'll do it, see? And we will do it because we're going to have to do it to save our grandchildren and decades of unborn children that haven't been here yet. So we got to look, you know, generations back and forward. We got to help these. Got to help these kids out. We can't leave them with this mess.
Yep.
I yield.
I have to agree completely.
Well, we're kind of in our stages of infancy on going to court with this. I mean, 4 years is really nothing. I think a couple of years goes by, we'll have more people indicted, and then I almost see the point at which we'd have a protest outside the courthouse and we'd hang somebody in effigy, you know? That's the way they do it over in other countries when they can't get redress.
If we wait too long, we could be in trouble because there might be more indicted than there are of us. They might come out and get us.
Yeah, but the thing they don't get, and which I don't really get it, is that you would think that they would understand that we're just not going to go away. I mean, what do you do when you're older and your grandkids come up and say, "So, Grandpa, what did you do in the Great War of Freedom?"
Yeah.
Well, son, they came out with this Rule 12, and they said that we just didn't have any standing in our courts, so we just went home and we forged our chains and we put them on our ankles and we just stayed there. Well, I don't think that's going to ever happen.
No.
We're not just going to give up for no good reason.
Well, I think the silent majority is pretty well getting fed up with all this nonsense, too. And I think there is one, and I think you're probably going to see him on the 6th of November. Well, it'll be interesting to see how the count comes out on that, if it's accurate, and then done legitimately. Of course, according to Hillary and Waters and all those, there will be terror in the streets if they don't win. Which I think would be a big mistake because I don't think people will put up with it.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword they yield.
Yep, it is. Start throwing rocks, you better watch it. Somebody might come along with a bigger rock. You know, we usually don't fight our battles on our home turf. This is our home turf. We fought almost all of them overseas. Big difference. It's you and yourn and your property involved. Makes it very close and personal.
Yep, it gives new meaning to the old phrase there, beware of the man that's got nothing left to lose.
That's right.
Well, maybe this caravan will be the straw that breaks the camel's back on the welfare camel, you know.
Yeah,
the entitlement, birthright, the whole thing, you know. I mean, we've only been complaining about it for probably since the mid-60s, 70s, you know. It's gradually creeping up and got into the chronic stage. And so maybe this will do it.
Well, I hope so.
Just hate to see people get all messed up in it, though, you know, fighting in the street and stuff, but I don't know. They'll do what they can.
Yeah, now it's not a good time to be in a big city, I think. because that's where the problems will start.
Actually, I think that I'd like to think that Trump would be bringing out the National Guard, or you know, taking over the state guards ahead of time and put in the big cities, and then the governors would go along with that because they would see what's happening.
Well, he's got 4,000 guard down on the border in the Tijuana area and over towards Arizona. He put down there, there was 5,000 originally, I think, in April. And then they send a bunch of them back, but now they're up to 4,000 again, I think. So they're starting to do that. Now, it's interesting, all these people are screaming that we've got to let these people in and give them asylum. Well, that's true if people are from an area where they're being abused, et cetera, and need political asylum, they can get it, but they have to apply at the first country they come to upon leaving their country, and that's not us. So we are under no obligation to honor that. And I know there's a lot of people, I've been hearing from people that came into this country. One is Philippine and Filipino, and she's been here for, I think, almost 10 years, and she still hasn't got status so she can apply for, you know, her tests and take her citizenship tests and that sort of thing. She's still on the waiting list. And others have come in and gone through all of the requirements. They've done the testing, they've done the studying, they've passed all their exams, and they are citizens. And now they see people come in and they walk across the border and they want to be instant citizens, you know? And it kind of makes all their battle, you know, for naught, because these other people are getting the same bennies and didn't go through the system and, you know, just ignored it, wrote it off.
You know how it's supposed to work.
Yep.
Is they can apply for refugee status in any state once they get here. They're supposed to go through a port of entry, but the United States is not going to automatically throw them out. They're supposed to get like 2 months so they can vet their claim. So, you know, I don't know about what you were saying about the first country, that would be Mexico. And I was kind of wondering about that myself. Why isn't Mexico doing anything with these people?
Well, they didn't send an armed force to stop them. I think they sent 200 troops down on the southern border there. And when the bunch came through, they just overran them and started beating up on them. So the military just took off and running. Now, they haven't tried it with an armed group, as far as I know. Except they have apparently confiscated some weapons and stuff from some of them. They have some people embedded in it now to keep kind of track on what's going on and what they're trying to plan. So they aren't totally out in left field. One of them is a reporter. Of course, you know, is a news reporter really a news reporter, or is he just a spy to tell us what he wants us to hear? Or, you know, kind of hard to decipher it at this point.
So what are they supposed to do? Just cross over the border? We're supposed to put them up in a Marriott for the next 2 months until, while they vet their claims? Sounds kind of unusual to me.
Well, I heard that they had 10 cities.
I don't know how they're going to contain them.
Yeah, they had 10 cities set up, and I'm sure that's going to be contained. They're not going to let them run around while they're deciding what to do with them.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess, just like the Marriott boat lift. But at least we can probably keep them out. We should.
Well, if we don't, I think we're sunk. Because that'll just incite more to come. And Soros has got a lot of money. We can fund a lot of them.
You got to draw a line in the sand somewhere.
Yep. I agree. Preferably south of the border.
Right. Like, right below Mexico.
Yep. See, due to international law, what I was saying is that they should have applied, you know, some of these ISIS and stuff, I don't know if they came straight into Honduras or straight into Mexico, But if they were coming up from down below El Salvador or whatever, the next country they hit, they should have applied for asylum if that's what they really wanted, but they didn't. So they just kept coming, so that means they're up to something that's probably not so good. Because Mexico said they would take someone to get there if they applied at the border, which they were supposed to do, but they didn't. I don't know if any of them did. I know they were offered the opportunity. It would seem like they just cleared the checkpoint and away they went. Well, where are all our enthusiastic speakers tonight?
Does anyone know what the next steps in the judiciary case is?
Which one?
All the indictments and all that, the one we just...
For the New York Safe Act?
Not the gun one, but the other one. The foreclosures and all that?
The other one will be indictments. Safe Act, we're waiting to see what happens with our latest filing.
So the next one in the suing the judiciary and the foreclosures is indictments?
I do believe that's true, yes.
I saw that the Bundys have filed a new case or something.
I hope it's for massive damages. They had filed previously and withdrew the case some time ago.
Well, this was just recent.
Yeah.
Just within a day or so.
Yeah, okay, so they've decided to go back and create a little havoc.
You know, that's one thing with this. Once you get into these, they just go on and on for years and years and years. You know, it could be almost a lifetime.
Yep.
It's like there's no end. It's like there's no answer. There's no end to it, you know.
Well, the government has an infinite amount of money, and they'll just keep it until you don't have any and your home is gone.
Exactly. They wear, that's it. They wear you down, right?
Then they'll throw you in jail.
Mm-hmm. And it, all of this is so epic, you know, this caravan. Just really doesn't even make sense. The lengths of that people are willing to go to, you know, to further their own interests.
Well, they're probably being paid by someone from what I hear, at least Soros, if not others. So
well,
I suppose they have to produce then, you know.
That's what I said about the caravan. They have to be getting help. You can't have that amount of people.
And think about food, you know, and other services. They're providing some of them now. They've got portable.
Well, anytime you get that amount of people collecting anywhere, it's going to be an issue. And I had the same question. What's Mexico doing?
Yeah. Other than offering to take him in, nothing really right now, I guess.
Well, that's ridiculous in itself. To just give them free rein through the country. Someone said they're still, is it 900 miles away?
Well, there's at least two different groups. One of them is not that far from the border, a couple hundred miles, and the other one is four or more, 100. They figure they can move max of 20 miles a day. That's a long haul if they got kids and stuff. So in 10 days, they can go 200 miles. Taking 10 days to get up the border.
And their declared objective is to come into the United States. Is that it?
Yep. They're going to come in and demand services. Because we owe it to them, I guess.
And I had to wonder, is the election behind this? Is that what, or is that not really
part
of it?
Well, you would assume the Democrats thought they could, you know, or whoever is funding them, I'm assuming it's the Democrats because they're the ones yelling, let them in, that they wanted to create an issue for Trump to try and get him at the border here just before the election to make him look bad. Wouldn't you think? It was like sending pipe bombs to all your friends, you know, and then claim it was somebody else doing it to make them look bad.
I think it's painfully obvious what it is.
Yep. But I imagine there are still people who would argue the point with you. Unfortunately.
I would almost think that if they, if people didn't know any better, they could actually think that if you go on these anti-Trump websites, the people there, they're probably thinking that Trump is doing this just so that he has an excuse to call up the troops.
Yeah. And they're probably putting that out.
Just depends on the perspective you're looking at it from.
Well, we've had the inverse news on the major networks for a long time. Whatever claim Trump is doing is actually what they're doing, you know? Not that I think the Republicans are any great shakes. I don't like either one of them particularly. Although Trump is certainly doing more than anybody has in a long, long time.
You know, it amazes me that this globalism is portrayed as something good and people buy into that. And it's just a bad thing, you know. I mean, I have to be able to manage my life and my affairs and everything. And the countries are no different. They need to be able to manage their people and their resources and everything. And this idea of just having open borders and, you know, everything open is just, it's like an illusion. It's an illusion that's being painted that's going to be something wonderful, and it's going to be catastrophic.
Yep, if we ever have open borders, it will be.
It's not manageable. It's not manageable. Like I have to manage my checkbook, you know, to be able to live and, you know, within my means or whatever. And the countries have to do the same thing. And if you have that kind of thing going on, it's not manageable. And we have nothing in place that, you know, our laws and everything don't apply to something like that. And so it would be total chaos. And my concern is that these young ones are easily, you know, manipulated and maneuvered into something, to buy into something like that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Part of the reason why way back when they used to, all the decisions were made by the elders. It made the youth a little bit mad by it, but you had a reasoned response to what was going on instead of just impulsive reactionary thinking.
Yes, I'm
a lot of these elders are a bunch of snowflakes, too. Like my sister, I had an email argument with her, and she's saying that Pizzagate is a fraud. And I'm thinking, you know, these emails are out there. Haven't you even bothered to read these things before you start calling things a fraud? I mean, people just don't want to know.
Well, a friend of mine told me some years ago that if you take someone who has a belief system and you find something, some fact that's incontrovertible, you can't argue the point at all. And so you go to them and you explain that to them. Do you think they're going to change their mind? No, they will just argue even more forcefully that what they think is true. You can't convince them with facts. That's the problem. Facts don't mean anything to them. It's all emotional anymore.
Drama.
Yeah, and they pass it on to their kids, too. My niece calls herself a socialist, you know. They don't even understand, you know, what communism is about, you know. When you don't have, if you don't own property, you don't have any rights. So that, and that's what they want. They don't want, you know, they have this idea in their head that, you know, somebody at the top is going to make all the decisions and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
That's another illusion. They think they're going to be taken care of, and they won't be.
Well, a lot of these kids have been taken care of from day one, you know, and they've had this, like, silver spoon experience. So why wouldn't they believe in socialism? That's basically what they've got at home. Mommy and Daddy will take care of them. A lot of them come back even in their mid-20s or early 30s and live with Mommy and Daddy. So.
Yeah, they haven't had any real hardships. No right. Wars or, you know.
You probably never worked for anything in their life.
Even we're even losing sight of that because we had the people from the Depression and then their children, and they'd be saving all kinds of things, you know, and everything. And now if you do that, you're sort of regarded as kind of crazy, you know, because they have no concept of, you know, being in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what surprises me is you would think that they would wonder once in a while why they're so deeply in debt, you know, and why they can't have that debt dismissed in bankruptcy. Start asking a few questions, you know, once in a while. Maybe you'll find some answers.
Yeah, debt forgiveness. They'd all go for that.
Well, apparently they haven't found it yet.
No. Nope. What was it, every 10 or 50 or 100 years they were supposed to have one?
Yeah, I can't remember when the last time that was. I
no,
think it was every 70
either.
Years. The Jubilee you're talking about.
You know, I think they do have an interest, though, in the Constitution and the stuff that's being brought out now. I think they really are interested in that. They just don't know about it because, you know, the schools haven't, they're not teaching that stuff anymore.
Yeah, that's why we're trying to get the last course up and running, Constitution course, the civics course, and now the new one, government by consent. Should get them a little information, a little education.
Well, I know I share it as much as I can. I reached 6,000 people, so that's my part.
Yep. Every little bit helps.
I just shared a video. Trump had visited a hospital, and the hospital people were, you know, acknowledging them and speaking favorably, whatever. And I shared that as much as I could.
I'd love to hear how you got a hold of 6,000 people.
Well, that's an interesting thing. Yeah, that's real interesting. Well, I had my own case. It was a code enforcement case. And through that, I, you know, came into contact with different groups. And there was one man out of, it was either North Carolina or South Carolina. And he had a site. He had 5,000, almost 6,000 people. And what it was they took his house away from him. He ran against this guy for an office. Actually, his friend ran against him first, and they took his house away from him. He lost, and the guy that won, they maneuvered around and took his house away from him. And then his buddy ran, and they took his house away from him. You know, there's a whole story behind it, but... So he was sort of relentless about exposing these people. And the guy actually did end up retiring. He actually just recently passed away. But then, so he had a page that, you know, with that many members, and then someone hijacked the page somehow. And somehow the name on it changed from just code enforcement to code enforcement / police state USA. And for a while, there was all kinds of postings that were not really sort of unrelated. And I really don't know who has the page now, but it's the same members. So... I don't know who has it now, but I can, you know, I still post to it. So, and it's just, I just have several sites like that where I can reach that many people. And these tend to be pretty, you know, they tend to be patriotic type people who will weigh in with comments and things. It's actually, I think, pretty difficult for these low-level wrongdoings or abuse of power, whatever situations, to get this exposure or whatever. But I will say this, NLA has helped me in ways that I don't even think they know about, really. I also follow different cases of people who are in situations like that. There's one out in California and different ones. And I followed the whole Bundy case, so... But it just doesn't rise to the attention of, like, the caravan or, you know. I was wondering about that thing with Whitey Bulger being transferred to the West Virginia prison, and the day he gets there, he's murdered.
I thought that was a little funny, too.
Oh, there's something not right with that, you know?
I bet you might.
Yeah, they should have known something like that was going to happen. I think they set him up.
I think they just euthanized him myself. He was, I think he was he was like old. He was like 80 some years old, and the for profit prisons. Well, they don't want. They really don't want anybody that age in the prisons because they have to take care of them.
Yeah, and he was pretty horribly murdered too. You know, I know he was a pretty bad guy, but you know that's not what we're not supposed to do that in this country. They gouge his eyes out and cut out his tongue.
Well, that allegedly, I'm not even sure. You know, I'm not even sure you can believe that. Or, I don't know.
Well. I read that it did happen, so you know, so we'll see. It'll come out eventually. Either way, what they did from and you know this is perfectly believable and still probably just as bad is they put a lock in a sock and beat the shit out of him like that, and that may have caused his eyes to pop out. So we don't know at this point.
It doesn't even make sense that, number one, if he was just transferred there, how would anybody get access to him, you know? And I just don't get it. It's something's wrong.
Yes, it is, because usually, you know, they don't put them in general population right away. Okay?
Right.
And that happened, like, the first day or first night he was there. And from what I understand, it they got him in the cell, and they backed his wheelchair into a corner where the cameras couldn't get it, and just beat the hell out of him. And you know that just shouldn't happen.
Right, two wrongs don't make a right. That's for sure.
But they'll cover it up, and they'll get their pension, and everything will be smoothed over.
The mob has a way of taking care of their own problems, I guess. He was squealing on.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is that this guy who supposedly did it was a mob enforcer. He and he wasn't actually in the mob, but, you know, they do it. They hire these groups, like, you know, and they go out and they do the dirty work so they don't have to get their hands dirty. And so... This guy supposedly was offered a plea, but he was convicted and he's doing life in prison. So that's the other thing. This guy had nothing to lose either.
Yeah, those are dangerous people.
And, of course, you know about the backstory on Whitey Bulger and the story with the FBI and basically allowing Bulger to go and continue to kill people while he was feeding the FBI ridiculous information, useless information, and, of course, you know, getting all kinds of gifts and stuff from Bulger and his partner Fleming.
Sounds like the makings of a movie for sure. Haven't they? They made a movie, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah, actually, they made a couple of them, like the Departed with Jack Nicholson.
Uh-huh.
And the other one with Leo DiCaprio. No, I'm sorry, Johnny Depp.
Mm.
Yeah, Johnny Depp, Black Mass was the movie.
Mm.
Both pretty good movies, by the way. And as a matter of fact, the one with Jack Nicholson won, I think, Academy Award for Best Picture.
Yeah, he's such a good actor. I've always liked, ever since One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I still have to laugh when I think about that part. Did you see that movie?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's a classic.
Where the people are going around that pole for some reason, and he starts going the other way, and they all get upset. I still think that's funny.
And it's kind of true what they put him through, you know, saying that he was crazy. I mean, they're going to, they'll do it to us, too. Because,
Oh, yeah, sure. I've already seen that in cases where if you don't go along with them, they start making you out to be crazy.
Yeah, especially when they try to appoint a public pretender and you say, no, I don't want him. Oh, no, you're going to have to take him or that, or you have to go through a psychological exam, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wasn't Mueller in charge of the FBI during a good part of the tenure of Whitey Bulger?
I believe he was.
That's interesting.
It is.
Yeah, thank
you. That's interesting. Maybe karma's coming.
It can't be soon enough.
Actually, I find myself saying that quite a bit these, you know, recently. Some things just do tend to be coming full circle now. I mean, sometimes you can only hold out on all this debauchery and treachery and everything so long before it comes back and bites you, you know?
Here's hoping. Well, we're past the bewitching hour. Does anybody have any final comments or questions?
No, I was just about to say, what else is there? What else is going on?
Apparently we've covered it, huh?
Guess we'll have to save it for next week.
Yep. I'll turn off the recording then.